Thank you very much for being here this morning. And, you know, it's just wonderful to be able to enter into the house of God and blend our voices together in these great hymns of praise unto our wonderful God who is great. And we thank you all for being here this morning. You know, I am already looking forward to our time next Sunday morning. My lesson is entitled, Let Freedom Ring. And freedom is never free. As we anticipate our 250th anniversary of this nation, the beginning of the United States of America. And I hope that you're here as we gather then. One thing we did not mention this morning, we do want to mention, and that is next Sunday evening, following the evening service, we will have our annual watermelon supper. And the watermelons are always furnished, and it's always a great time. And we hope that all of you will want to be there with us at that time. We do thank you. You know, isn't it wonderful to know that this is our Father's world? It is the world in which you and I live. It is a world that has been created by our God in heaven. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the profound impact of the godly father in the home. You know, there is so much said today about fathers and so much that are said about parents, mothers as well. But in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. You know, when you read that passage, you have to ask yourself this question, does God discipline us? Does he ever discipline you? Have you ever felt disciplined by God? There have been times in my life when I felt disciplined by my loving Father who is in heaven. Well, when, why, and how does the Lord God discipline us when we sin? According to the words of Revelation 3 and verse 19, God says, Those that I love, I rebuke and I chasten. But, you know, the wheels begin to turn in our mind, and we begin to wonder, you know, how is it that God really shows his discipline unto us who are his creatures upon this good earth? Well, we make mistakes, and God is the eraser. He is the one who removes the sin stains from our life. Yes, he does, over and over again. How many times have you found yourself in the presence of God praying that God would forgive your sin? But then you ask that question again, why does God discipline me? I can tell you one reason is because of his great love. You are loved by God. John 3 and verse 16 says, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God is saying to us this morning, I love you. And I'm so thankful that God has called upon me as your minister to, and one of the elders to, tell you that God loves you so much. But does God really punish? Is there a difference between punishment and discipline? Does God punish his people? In the words of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, My son, do not despise the chastisement or the discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loves. He chastens and he scourges every son whom he receives. So I can tell you freely this morning, the reason God disciplines you is the fact that he loves you so deeply and he wants you to do the right thing and always be about his business, honoring him. In other words, the Lord loves those that he disciplines. And I think God disciplines in various ways, but it is suffice to say that he loves us very, very deeply. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, the scripture says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto God's children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. How many of you were disciplined by your parents? The rest of you were not, right? So that's why you are what you are. We're all disciplined by God, just like we were disciplined by our parents. We didn't like the discipline at times when our parents would say to you, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. Did you ever hear your parents say that? Sure you did. You're saying that sounds very, very familiar. Well, it is so true. But you know, God is saying that unto us. It hurts me to have to discipline you and to correct you. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth of every son that he receives. But if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Think about this one. If you're being chastened, it means you're a son of God or a daughter of the Lord. And you're being disciplined for reasons maybe unbeknown to us or even to you. It is much better at parenting, I can tell you, fathers are, many, many times, and it would be wise on our part to trust what he says on this subject that I'm sharing with you here this morning. He is the perfect father. We don't have any perfect fathers in here this morning. I understand that. And I know that because we're human and we are prone to sin. We violate God's law. We say things and we do things. And sometimes we don't set the right kind of example. Well, let's go on this morning. The discipline of God is motivated by his love. But there is a big difference between punishment and discipline. You know, when you punish, you're not just correcting, but you are invoking the wrath of God according to the will of God. The Bible says the son left to himself will bring his mother shame, and it is so true. But he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but make sure that you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we have the responsibility to discipline our children. We have the responsibility to punish our children. And I still believe in corporal punishment. I also believe in capital punishment, but not for children, okay? But I do believe in corporal punishment. I believe that when a child does wrong, he is to be corrected, but he is to be punished if he has received admonition over and over and over again. It is not a sin upon you to punish your children. Vision gives us direction, but it is discipline that keeps us on the straight and the narrow way. Punishment is retribution for wrong done. And we have many, many biblical examples in the Word of God that tell us that punishment is not wrong, it is good for us. That word chasten, that's really what he's talking about. The word chasten means to correct, but we must conform to God's standard given in the Bible. And we make the mistake of equating the word chasten with the word punishment. God has reason for properly training us. Now, we don't always like to have to go through what we have to go through, maybe, here in this world as God's children. But we know, according to Romans 8 and verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose. So there is a reason sometimes. I don't think God punishes us as much as he disciplines us. He tries to correct us and get us to do the right thing. The one who disciplines nations will surely correct you, David said. He is the one who teaches everything, and the Lord knows what people are thinking. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what's going through your mind, and he disciplines. He knows that their thoughts are like a puff of wind, he says. The Lord's great blessings belong belong to those you discipline, to those you teach from your law. You help them stay calm when trouble comes. Isn't it amazing? That's what God says. He helps us to stay calm when trouble comes. You will help them until the wicked are put in their graves, and the Lord will not leave his people. He will not leave them without help. That's the kind of God that I want to serve, don't you? That's the kind of God who loves you, and he's going to minister to your every need in life. No one will ever, ever, ever love you more than Jesus or God. A relationship with God is the most important relationship you can have, and we should embrace it every day. Listen to Psalms chapter 38, these profound words of King David over in verses 1 through 5. He says, Lord, don't criticize me when you're angry. Don't discipline me in your anger. You have hurt me. You punished me and hurt me deeply. You punished me severely, so my whole body is sore. I sin, and now all my bones hurt. My guilt is like a heavy burden. I am sinking beneath its weight. I did a foolish thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying that God won't punish you in this life. I think he's very capable of doing that. And maybe sometimes he does. But I do think the larger part of God is that he corrects us in that he disciplines us. But then there's a second thing that I want you to know. And that is the discipline of God is not influenced by external circumstances or situations in life. It's just not. The Lord is not embarrassed to correct his children in public. Now, a lot of people don't like to see that out at Walmart or wherever you may be, and a child acts up, and a lot of people say, well, I've seen parents just correct their children right there. Well, maybe that's what they need to do. Maybe that's what's wrong with our world is the fact that we are not spending enough time with our children to correct them and to help them understand what God wants them to do. You know, Israel lost the battle at Ai. You remember the story of Achan in the book of Joshua 7, verse 5 through 12? They sinned against God. Achan sinned against God and violated the law. King Saul sinned in secret, but God corrected him before the whole nation of Israel. You think God doesn't correct and discipline before other people? I think he does. And I think one of the reasons he does that is to show other people that God corrects his own children. 1 Samuel 12. The Holy Bible is meant for our protection, and it does protect us. It is meant for our correction, and then it is meant for our direction. Think about it. Protection, correction, and direction. And that's what God does when he disciplines us. Our Father gives us direction through the Holy Scriptures. David asks the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way except in thy way, O God? Psalms 119 is the longest psalm in all of the Old Testament. The longest chapter in all of the Bible. And here King David talks about the fact that God gives instruction. We have to stop, just like you do at the train, you know, when you see a train coming. Stop, look, and listen. And I think sometimes God acts abruptly to get our attention. He does. And he does things that we may not even imagine in our mind God doing. He uses just about everything in the world to arrest your attention. And he's saying unto us, stop where you are right now and look and listen. Listen to what he says. And God's hand of love is a hand of discipline. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. In the Old Testament, there is a character by the name of Job. Most of us are familiar with Job. He was a perfect, we're talking about perfect fathers, he was a perfect and an upright man. He loved his family, loved his children, loved his wife, loved his friends. His neighbors loved him. They were just mistaken and misguided because they believed that all the horrible things that came to pass in Job's life was attributable to the fact that Job had sinned or had done something wrong. And that was not the case at all. But in the book of Job chapter 5 and verse 17, Job writes, "Behold, happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth." We all want to be right, don't we? Don't we want to be right with God? I dare say that every one of you would say, "Yes, I want to be right with God." God could come any moment. And I don't want to hesitate to do his will. I want to make sure that I am being corrected by God, and I will take delight in it. "Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." You know why he said that? It's because most people hate the chastening. No one likes to. I mean, I never did say to my father when he whipped me, I never did say, "Go ahead, Dad, a little bit more." Go ahead. I never said that. I questioned him a lot of times why he punished me, but I know it was for my own good. Now, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and correcteth. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole." The Lord corrects the person that he loves. Just as a father corrects his son, he delights in Proverbs 3 and verse 12. Have you ever stopped to think about all the Bible has to say about parents and children and how we have to correct them? They don't like it. None of us like the correction of God. But there are two things that go together, love and discipline. You love your child, you discipline that child. You don't discipline that child when you're angry or when you have animosity in your heart or when you have been embarrassed maybe by a child, but you love them and you discipline them according to the way of God. Just like God said, "As many as I love," notice this, "I rebuke." Nothing wrong with rebuking children. He said, "I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent," or change. Why? Because God is good. God is not influenced by the side effects of correcting his own children. I hope that we will remember that. And he is not concerned about what other people think. He's not interested in a bunch of back talk from people out in the world. Our Father in heaven is influenced by one thing, and that is his great love for humankind. But when you talk about God, you have to talk about the wrath of God. Paul the Apostle in the book of Romans chapter 1, I think it's about verse 31 or close there, he talks about God and he says, "Behold the goodness and the severity of God." God punished those who questioned his punishment. In the book of Numbers chapter 16, go back and read it. If you want to shift your eyes up here, the next day all the Israelites complained against Moses and against Aaron. And they said, "The Lord, or rather, you killed the Lord's people." Moses and Aaron were standing at the entrance of the meeting tent, and the people gathered together in the place at that place to complain. Well, that's America's favorite pastime, isn't it? Complaining, murmuring. Well, they complained against Moses and Aaron, but when they looked toward the meeting tent, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared there. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the meeting tent, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Move away from these people so that I can destroy them now." So Moses and Aaron bowed with their faces to the ground. Enough was enough. But then thirdly, the discipline of God is consistent. Have you ever noticed how inconsistent sometimes parents are in their correction of their children? Sometimes they think it's bad when children act up, and other times they think it's cute. I've seen parents maybe and their children, and the children used profanity and expletives, and someone said, "Oh, isn't he cute?" And we laugh at such situations instead of crying over it. It is a shame. But you know what? God is always consistent. It is true. What goes around comes around. When I read the book of Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You are going to reap in this life what you sow. It is going to happen. Don't write it off. God tells David, if he disobeys like Saul, he too will be punished. That's why the Bible is filled with one example right after another. You tell a child, don't touch that stove. You ever notice that? Whatever you tell a child, he's going to do it. You tell him not to do this, he'll do it. He'll wait. He'll be looking at you and reaching over like this to touch that hot stove. I mean, that's the way children are. That's why they need correction. And we tell them, don't touch the stove, you'll get burned. Why do you think God gave us parents? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Make sure that you honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And I say to all the fathers in this audience here today, or grandparents, don't be afraid to punish and correct your children or grandchildren, because you may be the very one that results in their salvation. The Bible says when you honor your father and your mother, you're fulfilling the great commandment of God with promise. Now, fourthly, the discipline of God is painful. It hurts. But there's a reason for it. Does God know it hurts you? When he punishes you and when he corrects you and when he disciplines you, does God know that it hurts? Absolutely. God's rebuke can shake heaven. For listen to Job 26. The foundations of heaven tremble. They shudder at the rebuke of God. Israel, that is God's children, wandered in the wilderness for over 40 years simply because they disobeyed God. Was God punishing them? I think so. Because they made unwise choices in life. Moses was forbidden to go into the promised land because he disobeyed God. Was God punishing Moses? Absolutely. He was. Will God forbid some of us to go into the great spiritual Pisgah or the spiritual Mount Nebo? Will he? Absolutely, he will. When he gives you chance and he gives you space to repent of your sins and to get right with him and accept his discipline in a way that would make your life better, yes, God can forbid you to go into heaven. And consequences always follow disobedience. It does. Sometimes people live their lives this way at the roll of a dice. And some people say, you know, whatever happens, it's just meant to be. Well, not necessarily so. You may be like some of those people that are predestination believers, that you're going to heaven or you're going to hell and it has nothing to do with your actions. You are totally out of the picture. God has already made the choice. No, that's not true. God says, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he says, those again that I love, I am there for you and will be for you. Going to heaven is not by chance. It is by choice. Let me ask you this morning, are you living by chance or are you living by choice? We must put our hand in the hand of God. You will either suffer pain of discipline at the times or the pain of regret. God disciplines us. Here are the reasons. To bring us to himself, to bring us to eternal life, to bring us to know his love, to bring us to know his glory, to bring us to seek him first in all things, Matthew 6 and verse 33, and to bring us to share his love for others, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and to bring us to the point of giving all of our life unto Jesus. And when Paul had reached the apex of his life, facing his death under Nero in Rome, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I would tell you this morning that time is fading. The moments of this life are passing, and we shall stand before the God of heaven, you and I, our Heavenly Father. I would ask you this morning, are you ready to make that change? You know, sometimes in our life, we forget that fathers love their children, and that's why they discipline you. Probably one of the most prolific writers of all time was a woman by the name, actually, of Irma Bombeck. And she actually was trying one time to paint a portrait of a little girl who loved her father but wasn't sure what dads do. What do dads do? Well, she said, one morning my father didn't get up and go to work. He went to the hospital and he died the next day. I hadn't thought much about that before. He was just someone who left and came home and seemed glad to see everyone at night. He opened the jar of pickles when no one else could. He was the only one in our house that really wasn't afraid to go into the basement by himself. He cut himself shaving, but no one kissed it or got excited about it. It was understood that when it rained, he was the one to go get the car and bring it around to the rest of the family. He took a lot of pictures, but was never in them. When I played house, the mother doll had a lot to do. I never knew what to do with the daddy doll, so I had him say, I'm going off to work now, and put him under the bed. The funeral of my father was in our living room, and a lot of people came and brought all kinds of good food and cakes. We never had so much company before in all of my life. I went to my room and felt under the bed for the daddy doll. And when I found him, I dusted him off and put him on my bed. Never did anything. I didn't know his leaving would hurt so much. Fathers will not always be with you. Be thankful for your father. Accept correction and discipline as you accept it from our God. This morning you may not be a baptized believer, and I would be remiss if I didn't challenge you this morning to become a child of God by your faith and obedience to the gospel in baptism, through a penitent heart and a willingness to yield your life unto the great God of heaven while we stand and while we sing.